From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. 4 days after being shot in the head, Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is said to be making progress. One of her doctors says the Democrat is less sedated and making small movements. Giffords was among 14 people injured Saturday when police say the alleged gunman, Jared Loughner, opened fire. 6 people died. President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama will attend a memorial event tonight in Tucson. The White House says before the service, Mr. Obama plans to meet privately with the victims' families. While the South is well underway in its cleanup from this week's major snowstorm, the Northeast is playing catch-up. The region was just hit last night with as much as 2 feet of snow reported in parts of New England. John Dankosky of WNPR in Hartford reports on the Connecticut governor's response to the stormy mess.
Daniel Malloy has already held several press conferences about winter weather since taking office 1 week ago. But this snowstorm is providing a new challenge. More than 20 inches of snow have piled up across the state, and Malloy told non-essential state workers to stay home. He even suggested that private companies follow suit, and many have, as interstate highways remain impassable in places. The Merritt Parkway, a main route for commuters into New York City, was closed for a time. Train service on Amtrak and commuter lines has been disrupted, and hundreds of flights have been canceled at New York and New England airports. The mayors of Danbury and Bridgeport, Connecticut, have essentially shut those cities down, and they've been communicating with the residents via Twitter, with Bridgeport Mayor Bill Finch tweeting this plea, "Stay home. Please stay home." For NPR News, I'm John Dankosky in Winsted, Connecticut.
In Australia, the swollen Brisbane River is still rising, forcing thousands of people to evacuate their homes in and around the country's third largest city. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Brisbane that the worst flooding to hit Australia in a century has left at least 16 people dead and 43 missing.
The floodwaters are expected to peak early Thursday morning local time and remain high into the weekend. Authorities have shut down the city center and Brisbane's port. Roads and power in many areas are out. The Premier or Governor of the state of Queensland, Anna Bligh, told residents threatened by the floods that there was no time left to hesitate.
Anybody who has the slightest concern that you might be anywhere near rising water, please leave your homes.
Bligh said that the floods were having a catastrophic impact on the state's agricultural sector and its coal mining industry, which could take weeks or months to resume full production. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Brisbane.
The Federal Reserve reports the U.S. economy ended last year on an up note, with all parts of the nation showing improvements in factories, consumer spending, and companies hiring. And on news of this uptick in U.S. stocks, the Dow is up 90. This is NPR. Defense Secretary Robert Gates appears to be playing down the possibility of a rift within China's military and civilian leadership. While Gates was speaking to reporters in Beijing, NPR's Louisa Lim says Chinese officials were again denying claims they were trying to upstage Gates' visit.
Robert Gates tried to dampen down speculation about a gulf between China's generals and its political leaders. This had its roots in the maiden flight yesterday of China's first stealth fighter, on the day Gates was meeting China's President Hu Jintao. A Pentagon official had said China's civilian leaders appeared to be unaware and then surprised the flight had taken place. But speaking on the Great Wall, Gates was keen to stress that both military and civilian leaders wanted to take their relationship with the U.S. to the next level. Meanwhile, a Chinese official again reiterated that the stealth fighter's test flight was not connected to Gates' visit. But the heavily controlled state-run media have widely reported the test flight, leading some analysts to wonder if it was a political stunt. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
5 more NATO troops have lost their lives in Afghanistan, raising the alliance's death toll in the war zone to 15 this year. 3 were killed today in eastern Afghanistan. Another died somewhere in the south. NATO isn't saying exactly where the troops were killed, nor is it disclosing the nationalities of the fallen troops. Another suicide bombing is reported out of northwest Pakistan. The attack against a police station and a mosque killed at least 11 people and reportedly injured more than 30. Northwest Pakistan is home to many insurgents who stage attacks against NATO-led forces fighting in neighboring Afghanistan. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, Washington.